Good morning, Patriots. It is a beautiful morning, especially on the West Coast where the sun hasn't come up yet. So if you're on the East Coast and you're at 8 o'clock, you just got to sleep in 3 hours that we didn't get. So you cheat, but we still love you. So let's do our public service announcements right from the start. Here we go. Right off the top, Bard's Fest, August 26th to August 29th. St. Charles, Missouri, and what we pray to be will be the biggest revival in human history. This is two events. It's one event, excuse me, two locations, 9 miles apart, an indoor event and an outdoor event. The indoor event is a beautiful 7,500-seat state-of-the-art facility. The outdoor event is a beautiful, has both indoor and outdoor capability. It's all built to have families together. So we have Patriots coming together in with speakers, with performances, with pastors, celebrating God and country. It's absolutely amazing. We want to have you there. This is God's event. This is even our event. We're just stewarding this amazing event. So get your tickets. You can go to bardsfest.com, bardsfest.com, or you can do bardsfm.com/bardsfest. You get to the same place. It's incredible. It's amazing. Get on over there. Get your tickets. Let's make this to be one of the most amazing events of all of our time. It's truly about putting God back in the center of all things, celebrating His glory, His love, His amazing power and grace in this nation, in this blessed land. And with that, on August 27th, Mike Lindell is going to be there. He's going to be speaking. He's going to be there, and when he's there, we're going to celebrate the Slipper Revolution, which is to honor him and all that he's done for this great nation. That means you need a pair of my slippers. And since it's probably going to be pretty hot out there, you're going to want a set of my towels, which happen to be on sale right now, too. In an incredible way, go on over to mypillow.com. Use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. Get an amazing value of pillows and slippers and sheets and comforters. I don't think you want to bring your comforter to Missouri in the middle of the summer. I think that'd be kind of hot. But you could bring your doggy bed. It'd still be kind of odd, though, in the middle of a performance. But you want to get over there to mypillow.com. You want to bring a pair of your My Slippers. You want to use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. And you want to have an incredible support for this incredible CEO, an incredible company that has done just amazing things for this nation. So again, mypillow.com, promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. Well, Patriots, one of the things that we really need to be focused on as we move forward in these coming weeks is our strength. And our strength in God and our fearless walk, not just for ourselves, but for leading others. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. As a remnant dedicated and committed to that, our faith, our rock solid grounding in Jesus Christ and our Lord, the one God, the only true God. We become that very solid foundation in which others are going to seek and be consoled by. At hand right now is a nation that is wandering, many adrift, and increasingly as people awaken, there's the issues of anger, there's the issues of fear and anxiety, all that come with the reality of either what they did to their bodies by taking this bioweapon, or the anger and frustration over the realization that indeed the election was rigged, and not just this election, but every election they've ever been part of was rigged. For some, those are very massive red pills, and there's not going to be a lot of coming back from that easily. If you just watched yesterday some of the debates between Senator Rand Paul and our favorite Luciferian goon, Fauci, beginning to see that there is a increasingly transparent dialogue happening with his collusion and funding of research clinics for the development of these bioweapons, and little by little that dripping reality is coming into the public sphere. Those are big issues, especially if you've taken the bioweapon. And quite frankly, I don't know, we don't know of any way to undo such a system that's once it's put into the body. The only thing we do know is you can undo that through your repentance and putting yourself before God. And sadly, in this country, in this world that we're in right now, they have so effectively denigrated Christ and God Almighty that even to say those things, you sound almost like a heretic in a strange way. Because people believe when they hear you say that, they're like, oh, you're foolish. You crazy Christians. You crazy nut jobs that think that you can pray your way out of science. If only they understood that the power of prayer and the power of faith are greater than any science, anything man does, anything of this world. So this is truly our time to rise up, to be the unwavering rock, that pillar, that foundation for a world as it begins to awaken and find itself in places that they have to question literally everything. I think back again to the quote by the Irish Prime Minister, I believe it was in 2019, when he said after meeting with President Trump, "Never will so much be asked of so few by so many." Here we are. And this time is rising, and it's a continued growth of awakening and the reliance on those that truly have the solidity and strength in faith and through Christ in their heart. This is truly the storm of all storms, as people open their eyes and realize that everything in their life that they've been doing, the worship of material goods, the pursuit of frivolous careers, the collection and accumulation of money for a date of retirement, to live a life of me and pursuit of me-ness all through your life, a pursuit of I all through your life, those things were all done intentionally to skew people away from the true path, the reason for being, which is to be here in this time, in this place, with God, walking in His world as a representative of Him in this land, to occupy this land and to expand His kingdom. That's our true reason. And when people have missed that, it's a very rough road to accept that everything that you've been doing in your life was truly a deception or a misdirection led by those that run the information grid and the control matrix that is so effective and so much deeper than anybody realizes until they take the red pill to realize where they are. Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is our path. And as we wait for the Lord, as we embrace God and Christ in our heart, we truly have the strength that never ends. It's not easy by any measure. We know that. But the beauty of it anymore is that as we face new challenges and they come at us with new means of trying to denigrate us or disparage members of our in the ranks of the patriot movement, trying even now to suggest that if we even say the word patriot that we're somehow white supremacist or racist. These are crazy people that are shaping a lunatic base that has so willfully accepted the allegiance and worship of idolatry. It truly, when that world cracks and it cracks open, there isn't much left that they have. We've seen this nation fall to its knees, literally, in physical fits and tantrums, screams, and just completely lost in the moments when their world begins to collapse and things don't go as they're told or they expect it to be. Their world has been shaped and structured in such a way that one little piece in the pyramid that's put out of place, the entire pyramid of control and acceptance and stability falls apart. Just think back to when Obama stepped out of office and when Hillary Clinton lost to President Trump. The amount of meltdowns that we had, emotional meltdowns, truly were triggered people falling apart. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a worship to such a level, a weakness in their soul to such a level, that the only way back is that they have to physically, emotionally break and then accept a new way forward. And hopefully it's us extending the hand to show them the way, and then they have to make the choice. The hardest part about this walk is we find our own strength in the Lord, and our own strength in this walk is not to fall into their trap. And that is one of the hardest paths that everybody in the remnant must walk. We have to be that symbol, that light on the hill, that strength as we walk, but we can't let ourselves fall into their pit to try to save them. Everyone that we encounter that finally begins to awaken must choose to leave that place on their own. We may be able to throw them a rope, but you can't carry the whole burden of pulling them out. You can extend a hand, but you have to be careful not to let them pull you in. It's a very delicate space, and it's one that is we will find continually and increasingly difficult, because it will get closer and closer to our spaces of what we consider to be personal and important to us. Close friends and relatives, when they start to reach, will want to cling. People that we encounter, that we provide a way forward to understand, not in sense of here's a path that you have to follow, but a choice that you can make to find your way back to stability, joy, and happiness in your heart. As they begin to take that walk, people are going to have to make that choice to walk that on their own. And that's a frightening place for people that have never felt like they are alone, that they've always needed the group. They've always needed the noise of the media. They've always needed the idea that there's a collective of them in one mindset working in unison in this socialist imprisonment of the mind. We have to offer them that opportunity to understand that they're not alone and never have been alone once they accept Christ in their heart. But in doing that, they have to make those choices. And that's a difficult place to offer and then have to step back, because if you try to lift and carry those, you will in the end fail. And that was never Christ's walk teachings anyway. Christ did not drag people from the pit. Christ offered them the choices. Christ offered them the way forward, and they had to choose. And from that choice, they could make a choice of following him and believing in him, accepting Christ in their heart or not. But it's not a place, it's not something that we can fix. All we can be is that light on the hill to show them a place to walk towards and to make that climb. Each one of us seeding that path along the way, each one of us offering a bit of our own piece, that hopefully that breadcrumb that they grab, that small little tablet of hope that they put in their hand, they can continue to embrace what that is, and they can find the deeper pathways forward by reaching into Scripture and accepting that Christ within them makes them no longer of this world. And then through that process of reconstruction and rebuilding, they can be freed from the burdens that they have put upon themselves by being in this world. Some of this, as we know, can happen literally instantaneously. A transformation like that, once people make that step, can be profound. But for many, to get to that point, to get to that very moment where they can step across and finally accept that they're no longer of this world, can be a journey that can be the most torturous one we can imagine. For some of us, we've been through it, for others not. Either way, we have to respect the fact that there's many out here that in that moment, they're going to cling, they're going to reach, they're going to try to grab onto you. Reach, grabbing onto your ankles, your arms, your neck, your back, trying to have you pull them and not leave them alone. Those are the fine lines we have to walk to maintain that place of true allegiance and faith in God, not letting them pull us down as we continue to rise and literally mount upon wings like eagles. Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength in my heart and my portion forever. Patriots, it's an amazing part here is that as we make this walk and we accept truly that we are not of this world, we also can accept very realistically that no matter what is done to us has no effect on us. This is important, and it's probably the hardest walk that we all face at this time. Our minds are amazing tools. Our minds are easily and also amazing prisons. And we have to be careful how much we let our minds drift and move away from the strength in our heart and our relationship with God. When we face times right now, challenges, one of the things that continually happens is that we will paint pictures in our minds of things that can happen, things that could happen, or worse, things and ideas that were put there by a cabal through the years of programming in movies and films, TV series, and stories of any fashion. Ideas seeded of fear, of anxiety, whether it's a horror film, whether it's some sort of film of adventure and action film where you're seeing pain and torture. Those themes are critical to the control element that we live within because they've seeded ideas within us that if we don't protect ourselves and our thoughts and be careful, those ideas manifest into dominant themes within our own body and our own soul to the place that we begin to develop the anxieties which turn the moments into control elements of the cabal. We cannot allow ourselves to drift into those areas of fantasy and horror. When we think about the cabal and we think about all that it can do to us, it can do anything. The fact is that, as harsh as this sounds, if you imagine something and it becomes something that you're afraid of, then imagine it 10 times worse and then just laugh and let it go because you can't control it. And the best part about it is it doesn't matter. When we cling on to our fears of this world and we say to ourselves, well, but I'm afraid of something. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. That fear now has a grip upon us. Don't let it have that. Make a choice in our life. Make a choice in the way you walk to simply accept those fears and anxieties that surface up. Listen to those fears and anxieties. Take a deep breath. Smile. Turn it over to God. Ask the strength of Christ to heal those moments of fear within you. And then take a hearty moment and laugh. Laugh in the face of evil that they would, that such a trite thing of a damage to this body or anything they think that they could do to this physical body would somehow affect us as a spiritual being, as a child of God, as a person with Christ in our heart. There's no stopping us because there's no stopping God and there's no stopping what's coming. And all they want to do right now is to seed the fear and the doubts so that we would have our fears and doubts in the face of God. And yet God has told us hundreds of times, over 366 times, depending on the version of the Bible that you read, to fear not, to fear not. That's an important point because through fear, we degrade our pure relationship and connection to Him. Fear is truly a liar. It's also a powerful agent of control within our own physical and physiological body system. It affects our brain chemicals. It affects our dopamine, our adrenaline, our serotonin levels. It physically distorts the way we think and process. Again, the brain itself is a marvelous system. But when the brain is let to run on its own, it overpowers the strength of the greatest engine in our body, which is our heart. And our heart is the bridge to God. So we have to be very clear in our life that what is in our brain can either be the effective tool of being in this world, or it can be the effective prison of keeping us trapped in this world. We have to free ourselves from those thoughts and those unsavory things that want to lock us in here and keep us trapped in this place forever. We are not of this world. We walk as people with Christ in our heart. And we walk knowing that we are impervious to what they throw at us as long as we truly trust in God, the one God, the only true God. And we walk with Christ in our heart, which restores us to the perfection that he intended to return us back to him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And there it is. Anything that we seek to do is possible. Anything that we desire or need is possible through him, through our humbleness, through our communication of truth, our pure heart that we put to God, before God, humbling ourselves before him and letting us know what we need and what our faith is. Every one of us at one point or another hesitates and has doubts. And as the increase of fear continues to rise, the fanning of fear, the fanning of anxiety, the fanning of threats coming from the cabal, they will seek to identify those that are isolated or alone, try to use that against them as a fear in itself. They will try to build up the concepts within us that we will somehow succumb to their agents of terror, that we will succumb to their threats of coercion and their police state, that they have the tools and the powers to surveil everything in our lives and to control us in ways that only they know the ends of, and only they are the masters of the universe. All these are illusions, illusions put before us to weaken us, to make us believe that we are lesser, that we have no possibility of escaping their grip. And yet, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Allow God in. Allow God in the deepest of ways. Let him raise you up. Let him cleanse all of that's within you that has doubt, and face this world with the power and the glory. It can only happen with Christ in our heart and the strength and the renewal into him in a way that God intended, that we are his children, and nothing can stop what he intends in this amazing and most perfect army ever developed. We are in a war. We are in a fight for the life and the survival of humanity. And if we ever doubt for a second that we'll win, then you have not understood God. God always wins, always will win, and nothing can stop his victory. And therein is the one of the most important parts of this fight. It's us and our unwavering commitment to him. We are both the agents of success and the agents of failure, because through him is where we decide, are we truly going to have faith and trust in God? Or are we going to have the occasional faith and trust in God where it suits us best? In a war, we don't get a choice what battles are put before us. In a war, you don't get a choice where the enemy decides to point its, to aim its rounds, or to fire its explosives, or launch its missiles or its attacks. In a war, it's about adapting. It's about overcoming, and in the end, in a war, it's about victory, decisive and total victory over an enemy. We are in a war, and it's a war that's fought on the planes of the spiritual planes outside of our control, in the principalities beyond our reach. It's also a war being fought in your mind on a daily basis for the control of the most powerful terrain of anybody can ever ask to control. And that's your thoughts and your perceptions of reality. When you control thoughts and perceptions of reality, you control the destiny of a soul. Any interrogator will tell you that if you can get somebody to truly give up their own will, to let go, and to finally give in to the pressures of the interrogator, whatever they will ask you to do, whatever they seek you to provide, you will do so willfully, by your own free will, because you seek to escape through them rather than and finding the strength in God. The cabal and those in power of the dark side understand that very well. They've used the mask to try to bow and break people's will. They've used the threat of lack of services or the restoration of our unalienable rights, that the only way to get those back is to accept a bioweapon into your body. They've used this over and over. They've pressured people to look at one another so that they're, those that have not taken the injection are made to feel like second-class citizens. They have revived the concept of Nazism, where instead of a Jewish star, we now are supposed to carry a vax ID, or we're supposed to be acknowledged somehow that we are openly lesser than the other, that we should willfully comply to mask rules, masking ourselves and identifying ourselves if we have not taken the injection within our body. Those that agree to those rules have succumbed themselves to a new corporate fascism, where they've accepted that they are somehow better than others, that they are superior to others by the acceptance of the tools given to them by man-made institutions, that they have been elevated to a higher status among men thanks to the tools that men themselves provided. It's a false worship. It's a worship of an idolatry of the worst kind. Because in the end, that sort of sickness leads to people believing that they can continue that march and that anyone that is not like them needs to be punished. This sickness is itself a deeper virus than the virus, the fake virus itself. It is truly the deepest part of this rancor and the deepest part of this infection. And again, where is it? It's the infection of the mind. It's the mind being twisted and turned on its head, not to function as a knowledge base of an extension of the heart of God, but rather to function as an independent entity, godless, adrift in the sea of information and lies that are presented to them in a matrix by the very masters which seek to destroy them. This world in which we live is dark. This world is a world shaped by deception, lies, and the inversion of all things related to God, and they love it. Those in power revel every single time that they can find a moment that they can willfully get others, human beings, God's children, to accept their inversion and their mockery of God. Anything that they can do to do that to them is a subtle victory. What they don't understand is the strength and the power of salvation. They don't understand what it means to accept Christ in their heart and to be truly remade. And for us, as we walk this path, we cannot have any doubts whatsoever in the way ahead. Again, fearlessly walking forward. And why does this become so important for us? Because in this place, our greatest role of being here has nothing to do with the house that we own, the car that we drive, the clothes that we wear, the shoes that we choose, the computer that we carry, the jewelry that we wear and adorn ourselves with. Those are all trinkets in a world living in this world, and depending on their size of requirement of the financial debt that we incur to get them, they are also the imprisonment and the trap that locks us here. Every one of us needs to be in a place, and a willful place, knowing that if so called, we could walk away from every single thing we had to follow the path that God puts before us. And when we reposition ourselves in life in such a way as to not allow anything in this world to control us or to anchor us, we now cease to be influenced by the things and trinkets of this world that the cabal puts before us. And in the process, we rise up to being connected to the greater world and in existence and meaning and purpose of being here that only God himself can provide. When we look at this world and realize that we're literally surrounded by trinkets, not just material things, but trinkets, these are things that are the hooks and traps and lures that anchor us here. They're the basis of so much of our own anxieties and fears. We are out here each day struggling to try to maintain the payments on our trinkets. We're struggling to maintain the upkeep on our trinkets, and we become attached to our trinkets. And then when we are offered these opportunities of acceptance of the cabal's way versus rejection of our trinkets, too often we find ourselves walking into the offering of the Luciferian hell that stands before us, rather than walking towards God and understanding that if we leave the trinkets behind, God will provide all that we need, no matter what that is. And that doesn't mean necessarily you have to physically leave them behind, but you have to live in a way, and we all have to live in a way, in such a way that the trinkets don't control us, own us, influence us. Nothing about them matters. That comes through our true trust in God in all things that we do. So as we look at this world through the optics and lens of those awakened, as we reassess our world truly as believers with Christ in our heart, we begin to appreciate the parables more deeply. We begin to appreciate our station in life more fully. And we begin to understand and accept that we are not of this world, that the things that we experience are just experiences, that we're here in such a way and in such a time because God needs us here. And that as we put our strength and our reliance into Him, we truly understand that we are here to occupy this land and to expand His kingdom. And that mission is the greatest mission one could ever ask. And in this time, there is no greater time and no greater meaning of living, for we are here in this time for this reason. And before us sits the greatest task of all, to awaken the many who drift in the darkness and to be that light on the hill so that they can find their way home. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time. Time that we come together each day to reflect very deeply on our relationships to You and our relationships to this world. Lord, we ask that You'll guide us in this walk, protect us as we continue to raise our head up to see before us clearly what is true to You and what has been deception and over and inverted to keep us in this world. Let us separate us from ourselves, from the control, the mechanisms, the strings, the traps that are continually put before us in the many forms of idolatry and the many forms of obsession with things. Let us see clearly that through that there is no anxiety, there is no fear, there is no anger, there is no hate as we walk with You. That those are all engineered aspects of a world puppeteered by these two-bit gods and fallen that have left You and have forsaken You and have done everything they can to distort Your creation, us, in such a way as to mock You. Forgive us, Lord, for the paths we have taken that have fallen to the trap of the cabal. But hear us, Lord, as we humble ourselves before You, as we pray for the healing of this land, as we ask forgiveness for those paths that we have taken, and as we now stand as mighty warriors of Christ in Your army to press forward into this cabal, to be relentless, to be ruthless in our pursuit, to stand with righteous indignation and to never bow, to not be influenced or to succumb to the threats and coercions of their two-bit lies and parlor tricks, but instead to know that as we stand with You, the perfection of all things becomes clear, the strength in Your warriors becomes resolute, and in the end we join You, Lord, in this fight, standing as a fearless army to defeat this cabal once and for all, to crush this evil to the ground, and to do so in our Lord's name. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. An amazing and glorious time in which we live. An amazing and glorious fight we have ahead of us. Through truth and through the sword of the Spirit, we raise up the word and we crush that which stands before us to deceive us. It has always been the world, the fight of deception, and overcoming their deceptions with the truth of the Spirit. That is the most critical piece to understand, that much of this illusions are built on the fears of the mechanisms of war in which they themselves built, the tools of warfare that extol excruciating pain within the body to try to get people to be so afraid that they either willfully kill one another or willfully succumb to the threat of the pain that will come. But again, we are not of this world. And yes, that walk may not be easy. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let us never forget those words. Psalm 73:26. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers are our center point, not just in our connection with God, but they're the foundation which we build to endure whatever they place before us. We shall never forsake God. He shall never forsake us. And that is the ultimate fear and the greatest fear of this cabal, because they know that as that strength rises, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that they can do to stop what is coming. Because they also know that with all this relationship and strength that we have through God and He has through us, that in the end, God always wins. Have a blessed day, Patriots. I will see you in the next hour for Storm Dispatch. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
Get back in my